I say to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I welcome you to this second convention of Masjid Ahlul Quran wa Sunnah. We will be having our Sheikh Usama Al-Qusi. He'll speak to you for about 15-20 minutes and give you a general advice, inshallah. At 12 o'clock exactly, we will be praying Salatul Dhuhr. And then the first lecture will start at 12:30, inshallah. And I'm now calling upon Sheikh Usama Al-Qusi. Sheikh Usama Al-Qusi, he's a student of a Sheikh Al-Muqbil Al-Hadi, and he also met the Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz and Sheikh Muhammad Nasir Al-Ban, rahimahumullah. And they recommended him very highly. And he is well known in the Arab world, and he's also known in this part of North America. And we're having our brother, Sheikh Muhammad Yasin, who will do the translation for him, inshallah. Sheikh Yasin also is an eminent scholar, and everybody knows him. Fadal.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأحمد الله عز وجل على أن جمعني بكم في هذه البلاد التي يسيطر عليها الكفر والفساد ولكن في وسط هذا الكفر والفساد يسعى أناس من عباد الله المسلمين إلى مثل هذا الجمع الطيب المبارك بإذن الله عز وجل فهذا مما يزيل غربة المسلم في هذه البلاد أنه يجد له إخوانا وأعوانا على الخير وإخوة له في الله عز وجل يحبونه ويحبهم ويلتقي بهم ومعهم على طاعته سبحانه وتعالى فإن هذه الدنيا ليس فيها شيء يدوم وجنتها لذة الطاعة جنة الدنيا هي لذة الطاعة وإلا فكل ما سوى ذلك يتغير ويتكدر فلا يخلو نعيمها من كدر ولا يخلو متاعها من نغص فالدنيا ليست دار قرار ولا دار استقرار وإنما هي ممر فالسعيد هو من وفق لطاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الشيخ حفظه الله began with a statement of giving all praise to Allah alone. We seek His aid in giving the thanks and blessings and giving the confirmation declaration of the faith that there is no one worthy of worship except for Allah, the one without partner, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, and the best of blessings upon him and upon his companions, upon his family, and all those who are rightly guided through the Sunnah of Ihsan, that is, the sincerity and truth and justice. And after that, after reiterating the testimony of this Shahadatain, he recited that all praise to Allah that He's brought him to this country, this land of evil, and those things that are widespread that are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But among and in between what he has seen in terms of the evil here, runs through the society a group of people like you who brought together for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His face and His love and in obedience to Him, and seeking and striving to increase their knowledge about their religion. So may Allah bless this gathering and those who have come together in this time to get the best benefit of what He has set forth. As far as what He has set, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for, was to the for the pure obedience to Him and worship towards Him, and verily know that everything that Allah has created in this earth is limited. It is not enduring, it is not everlasting. But verily, the hereafter and Jannah and those things that we shall enjoy are everlasting and infinite. Whatever we enjoy and obtain in this life has a limit, and we are not put here on this earth for the purpose of settling and having extended stay as if we would live forever, but verily we have been put here for the sheer obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship of Him. And this life, for getting the best benefit, and to get the love of and to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be, obey Allah and get the reward for obeying Allah, we must strive to come together in these type of situations and learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can get the best benefit not only in this world, but the eternal benefit that resides and waits for those who succeed in the hereafter in Jannah, and we get the best blessings there, which are never will ever cease.
وحقيقة إن إخواننا في مسجد أهل القرآن والسنة جزاهم الله خيرا يشكرون على هذا الجهد الذي يقومون به لمحاولة الأخذ بيد المسلمين في هذه البلاد إلى طريق النجاح، وذلك بعقد هذه اللقاءات الطيبة ودعوة أهل العلم وطلبته. والواجب عليكم أنكم تتعاونون معهم في هذه المهمة، لأن الثابتين على هذه الدعوة المباركة قليل في جميع أرجاء الأرض، لا أقول لكم إنهم قليل في هذه البلاد فقط. فأصحاب الدعوة إلى الكتاب والسنة وما كان عليه سلف الأمة قلة في العالم كله، وإخواننا في هذا المسجد، مسجد أهل القرآن والسنة، ممن يعملون لنصرة هذه الدعوة، الدعوة السلفية، دعوة الكتاب والسنة، بسهم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. وهم برغم قلة إمكاناتهم وضيق ذات اليد، إلا أنهم يبذلون المستطاع. والواجب عليكم، وأنا أرى أنكم قلة في العدد، لكن لا ننسى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بدأ الدعوة إلى هذا الدين وحده، فالحق دائما يبدأ بعدد قليل من الناس، ثم ينتشر الحق ويعم الأرض. وقد عاد الإسلام غريبا كما بدأ غريبا، وأنا أنبه إخواني على أن غربة الإسلام في هذه الأيام ليست غربة الإسلام بين الكفار، ولكنها غربة الإسلام بين المنتسبين إلى الإسلام. فأكثر المنتسبين إلى الإسلام، بل أكثر العاملين في مجال الدعوة لا يعرفون الإسلام، وهم أحوج ما يكونون إلى أن يدعوا من أن يدعوا، وهذه مصيبة كبيرة. فالناس لا يفرقون بين العالم والجاهل، لا يفرقون بين السني والمبتدع، لا يفرقون بين السلفي والخلفي، لا يفرقون، وعندهم كل شيء يسمى إسلاما. ونبينا الكريم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: إنه من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، عضوا عليها بالنواجذ، وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، فإن كل محدثة بدعة. والشاهد أنكم في هذه البلاد أحوج ما تكونون إلى التعاون مع أمثال إخواننا في مسجد أهل القرآن والسنة على قيام مسجدهم ونشر هذه الدعوة المباركة. وليس هذا من باب التعصب لهذا المسجد، لأننا نقول نحن لا نقف بجوارهم إلا لأنهم على ما كان عليه السلف الصالح، لكن لو فرضنا جدلا أنهم تغيروا كما تغير غيرهم فإننا سنتبرأ منهم. فليس القصد مسجد أهل القرآن والسنة لذاته، وإنما القصد أننا ننصر هذه الدعوة، الإسلام الحق، الإسلام الصافي، الإسلام النقي، الإسلام الذي مات النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وهو عليه وأصحابه، هذا هو الإسلام. كل ما سوى ذلك دخيل على الإسلام، ليس من الإسلام. فالإسلام واحد، لا يوجد إسلامان ولا ثلاثة ولا أربعة، إسلام شيعي وإسلام سني، هذا لا وجود له، هو إسلام واحد، ربنا واحد، ونبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم واحد، وكتابنا واحد، قبلتنا واحدة، منهجنا واحد، عقيدتنا واحدة، دعوتنا واحدة، وكل من جاء يريد أن يفرقنا فإننا نحاربه ونرفض دعوته ونقول له هذا ليس من الإسلام وليس من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في شيء. وهذا رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من أتاكم وأمركم جميع يريد أن يفرق عصاكم أو أن يشق عصاكم ويفرق جماعتكم فاقتلوه كائنا من كان، يعني لو لم يدفع شره إلا بالقتل لوجب على ولي الأمر أن يقتله. فالشاهد أن إخواننا في مسجد أهل القرآن والسنة في هذه البلاد، في مدينة نيويورك خصوصا وفي البلاد الأمريكية عموما، بتعاونهم مع إخواننا في جمعية القرآن والسنة، لا نعرف أحدا على الدعوة السلفية في هذه البلاد كما نعرف إخواننا في جمعية القرآن والسنة وفي هذا المسجد. فلذلك كل من أتى هنا من أهل العلم وطلبته يحث المسلمين في أمريكا الشمالية عموما وفي الولايات المتحدة خصوصا، يحثهم على التعاون مع جمعية القرآن والسنة ومع مسجد أهل القرآن والسنة هنا في نيويورك، لأننا حقيقة نرى أن معظم المساجد الأخرى في مدينة نيويورك كما يقال تأتي بكل من هب ودب من كل التوجهات والاتجاهات والمناهج، فكأنهم يدعون إلى التميع وتضيع الحق، فهذا يقول ما ينقضه الآخر وذاك يقول ما ينقضه الأول، وهذا ليس من الإسلام. الإسلام واحد، الإسلام واحد، ليس هناك تعدد في الإسلام، الإسلام واحد، وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم
تتقون.
جزاكم الله خير. The Sheikh Hafizullah continued in his statements regarding the Masjid of Ahlul Quran wa Sunnah by congratulating them and commending them for holding a conference like this and establishing the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf in all their activities, in addition to programs like this and in daily activities in giving da'wah to the community for the purpose of establishing and giving da'wah to the authentic way of Islam. Verily, in a country like we reside in and has been invited to, has seen that this is an open land for the invitation to Islam, where there exist multitudes of groups that are standing up and trying to establish their understanding of Islam, and the majority of them, of these groups, are not upon the true understanding of Islam. And therefore, a masjid like Ahlul Quran wa Sunnah should be commended and helped and assisted in any way by participating and contributing for programs like this and others, so that they can help them provide the true defense and propagation of the deen of Islam as was authentically related upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early generations. Even so, we know that among the various nationalities and groups and beings that live in this country, Islam is one of those things that still has its inherent strangeness, the ghuraba. But in terms of the strangeness of Islam, is not Islam being strange as a religion per se, but the strangeness is due to the diversity and the confusion among the various groups that stand for Islam, with only a minority of them standing for the true Islam. And that indeed is referred to in the hadith, and was what is the reality of the situation of the da'wah to Salafiyah, that is the authentic way of the pious predecessors and their da'wah to Islam in this particular country, because of the wide openness, diversity of the number of groups, only a minority are preaching to that way. He doesn't want to be misunderstood in terms of his congratulatory and support of Masjid al-Quran, to single out Masjid al-Quran as being the only masjid that he is supporting, or going blindly in support of it just for the sake of being connected with this masjid. But really, he has come here for the purpose not to help Masjid al-Quran per se, but to help propagate and assist in the da'wah, to give help in the da'wah towards its correct understanding of Islam, so that places like Masjid al-Quran and Sunnah can help affect the community, brothers and sisters who come to these conferences and involve and help out with this masjid and other masjids that can benefit and get the guidance and get the model and example from places like Masjid al-Quran. So he's not here per se for this masjid alone, but for the purpose of coming here to this country and finding a place like Masjid al-Quran as being an outlet, and one of the very few, he might add, that did give the true and authentic understanding and interpretation of Islam. As far as the Islam that Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought with and became a model for, and the companions confirmed and the Salaf propagated, is that which is a pure Islam, based on the oneness of Allah with one Quran, with one Qibla, a very pure and unadulterated understanding of Islam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic narration, the translations, the meanings, very, I leave behind you two things, I leave behind you the Quran and the Sunnah, and also I leave behind the guidance of the early four, that is the early Khulafa Rashidin, that is the authentically, rightly guided Khalifa. Hold on to them, cleanse them with your molar, the very difficult teeth that are hard to remove, those teeth that are way set back into your jaw, hold on with your muwazit. These are the firmest part of your body that cannot be extracted. So the Prophet uses an analogy to hold on fast to this. If you hold on fast to this, you will not go astray. So this is the thing, this is the path of Islam, this is the way that he is trying to help propagate and make people understand. But verily, the Prophet has left this behind, and that is the thing that we should seek. Verily, he mentioned another narration that there will come upon you a people after me that will see and witness much ikhtilaf and kathira. You will see much difference and breaking down into groups. There will be much differences. So hold on to these things. So really, this is the point to be made, that we are already witnessing the breaking down and the separation of the authentic way of understanding, and it's for us to learn, adhere to that which what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. This is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran himself mentioned at the end here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation of the meanings of the surah, of the ayat, very, an ayat, Verily, this is the straight road. Verily, this road that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sirat al-Mustaqimah. So hold on to it and do not divide yourself from this road. Comes of destruction, and this is the legacy. This is the inheritance that He's provided for all people to the Day of Judgment. And this road is straight. It is based on the oneness of Islam. It's based on the pure understanding, the unadulterated version of the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. Those who deviate from this will find themselves in destruction. It's for us to find that way. It is a clear way. And to understand it and propagate it, this is the best of all things, both in this world and hereafter. And this, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, but He's left us. And the legacy is the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can make some tamyiz, some distinction, so that we not be among those who cannot distinguish between the learned person and the ignorant person, the one who is on the Sunnah, and those who are innovation in bid'ah, and those who claim to be upon the Jama'ah, that is the group of understanding of the self, and those who deviate into other groups. Because the condition of today, the da'wah are multifarious, they come in different forms, all according to their own understanding. Some of them only accepting their own understanding, some accepting everybody's understanding. And in this mass of confusion, go back to these statements of the Prophet ﷺ and the last ayah that has been recited, to know that this way is one way, it's a straight way. Find it, determine it, and this is the reason why He's helped, and all of us should help ourselves and upon the way of the authentic self.
وأخيرا أختم كلمتي بالحذر من أن نضع أيدينا أو أموالنا عند من يهدم الإسلام. فكثير ممن يشتغلون في مجال الدعوة كما قلت يجهلون الإسلام، وبالتالي فإن دعواتهم تهدم الإسلام لا تبنيه. فالحذر الحذر أيها المسلمون في هذه البلاد أن تضعوا أيديكم أو أموالكم عند أمثال هؤلاء. احذروا واسألوا دائما أهل العلم الموثوق بهم، اسألوا أهل العلم الموثوق بهم عن حال من تشتبهون فيه. اسألوا، هل هذا من العلماء؟ هل هؤلاء من أهل السنة؟ هل هؤلاء من أهل الحديث؟ هل هؤلاء على الدعوة السلفية النافعة؟ اسألوا، كما قال الله تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. اسألوا العلماء الأفاضل الذين يعرفون حال هؤلاء، كأمثال الشيخ ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى، الذي وصفه الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله بقوله: إنه حامل راية الجرح والتعديل في هذه الأزمان. وبحق، هكذا قال الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله. ولا بد أن نحترم التخصص، لا بد أن نحترم التخصص، فلكل إنسان تخصصه الذي يحسنه. فلا بد أن نسأل أهل العلم وأهل الذكر كما أمرنا ربنا: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاكم الله خير. The Shaykh, Hafizullah, continued by saying the basic condition of the Ummah in general, and specifically among those, even those who come to conferences and places of sitting, of seeking out, is ignorance. General ignorance in the major affairs of Islam and in the subsidiaries that need to be resolved by seeking knowledge. And this is the purpose of coming to places, by filling in those gaps of knowledge and ignorance that people have. One of the most primary and most direct of contacts with knowledge is through the people of knowledge, the Ahl al-Ilm, the people who hold the knowledge. So it's very important to seek these people out, but what is more important than that is to be able to distinguish and be hold accountable according to the understanding of the Ahl al-Ilm in terms of, number one, their methodology, their level of understanding, and their speciality or their concentration or particularization of knowledge in a particular field of knowledge. So verily Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran in translation of meanings, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Ask the people of knowledge if you have a particular question or particular misunderstanding or ignorance in this area, you go to the people of knowledge. They are the ones to be sought out. But it's probably more primary than the seeking of the people of knowledge is to be able to distinguish among the people of knowledge those who are upon goodness. When we have a statement of Sheikh Rabi' ibn Madkhali, Rahimullah, Hafidullah, who has given us the understanding of Sheikh Albani, Rahimullah, who just recently passed, but during his lifetime mentioned him as being the guardian and the successor to the understanding of Hadith and its methodology and criticism and authentication of hadith of our time. So therefore we know his speciality. So if we want to find information about this subject and this specific discipline, we know to whom to go to. The chief among them was one of them who just recently passed, Sheikh Al-Bani Rahimullah. But others in the different fields of Islam should be sought out for that knowledge. We should know who they are, what their specialty are, and above all, what are their credentials in terms of their adherence to the way of the Quran and Sunnah. This is why we come, this is why we learn, and it's one of the most distinguishing parts is to learn who are the holders of knowledge, and this is what we shall, inshallah, discuss today and elaborate on for all our benefit, so that we can certainly seek out the knowledge and know their sources.
كنت أنتظر فقط أن يكون الجمع كاملا فلا نحتاج إلى تكرار النصيحة.
Insha'Allah, the Sheikh also wants to add as a reminder and also as an overriding rule of Islam, which should be not just for this sitting, but in all areas of the life, both at home, on the road, in the masajid, particularly in a general conference like this, where the facilities have not been arranged in a very Islamic manner, or at least in a very fortuitous manner, that we can make it more simple for the rules of Islam to be obeyed. Among them is the separation of men and women who are not legally married to each other, so that they can avoid those temptations and those evils that may lead to a greater harm. Among them, of course, is the hijab that the women wear, and the men who wear their bodies and clothes in a similar fashion to prevent the exposure of those parts of the body that should not be seen. But on top of that is the activities and the behavior and the character of a Muslim in relationship to the other gender, the other sex, so that they keep their eyes down, do not follow the eyes and movements of each other, and in particular sitting away from each other so that there is no road or pathway to a greater evil. Of course, in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no physical barrier per se, but there was certainly a character and a barrier of the heart that prevented the people from mixing, in addition to the rules that would be stated in terms of clothing. So therefore, we don't have that situation so much here that there's a physical barrier, but make the brothers understand in the meeting places, whether it be the shopping area, the prayer area, the eating prayer area, or in the sitting area, that the brothers and sisters should not be mixing in close contiguity. And also in those areas where they do happen to cross, they should not, they should lower their gazes. This part of the modesty for both that are engaged and obliged upon both men and women, he and the Sheikh, I just wanted to remind us of the things that is to be consistent in our lives, not just for an Islamic conference, but in our daily lives, but bring it here, especially when the brothers and sisters come here for such goodness and blessings. Do not destroy it by getting involved in those things that may erase your sins or cause you to fall into sins. May Allah bless you all.
Thank you very much. Brothers and sisters, we will now break for Salat of Zuhr. But the point of reminder that the first lecture will start exactly at 12:30, inshallah. And the topic is the virtues of knowledge and its people by Sheikh Usama Al-Kosi, ideally translated by Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. And a point of reminder also, at the back, on the extreme corner, on that direction I'm pointing, is the men's washroom, the brothers' washroom. You have to go this way and go around. And the sisters' washroom is this side, and they have to go all the way around, come at the end, in the extreme end. Unfortunately, we didn't design the building, you know. So that's how it is. So we're going to break for Salah, inshallah. And we need a volunteer with a very good voice to call the Adhan. And someone with a very good voice, come up here, inshallah. Let's give the Adhan.
That we have, inshallah, what is the best way to study, example, being not one who is literate in the Arabic of the Quran and the Sunnah? What is the best way to study?
ما هي الوسيلة أو أسهل وسيلة طلب العلم علما أن السائل يجهل اللغة العربية
يسأل السائل يقول ما هي أفضل الوسائل لطلب العلم علما بأن السائل لا ينطق العربية. الجواب يقول رب العزة سبحانه وتعالى فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. ويقول أيضا جل في علاه والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. ويقول سبحانه فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون.
وأنا أنصحكم بسماع شريطين للشيخ الألباني من أواخر أشرطته، الشريط رقم 900 على 1 والشريط رقم 901 على 1. الشريط الأول 900 على 1 بعنوان وصية إمام السنة لعموم الأمة، وهذا عمره عام تقريبا هذا الشريط، وصية إمام السنة لعموم الأمة. والشريط الثاني 901 على 1 ولعله آخر شريط له، لعله بعنوان المتجرئون على الفتيا. ففي هذين الشريطين فوائد كثيرة، كأن الشيخ يوصي بعده، كأنه يوصي، ولذلك سمي الشريط الأول وصية إمام السنة لعموم الأمة، والثاني بعنوان المتجرئون على الفتيا. وفي هذين الشريطين يذكر الشيخ فوائد كثيرة، لكن منها أنه قسم الناس إلى قسمين، عالم وغير عالم. قال: ولا أقول عالم وطالب علم، إنما أقول عالم وغير عالم، فيجب على غير العالم أن يسأل العلماء، هذا واجبه بنص القرآن: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وهذا هو الأصل في العلم، أن يسأل الإنسان العلماء مباشرة، هذا هو الأصل. إذا لم يتيسر هذا السؤال عندها تلجأ إلى الكتب والأشرطة. الأصل أخذ العلم من العلماء مباشرة، لكن هذا قد لا يتيسر لكل الناس، مع أننا نقول اليوم الحمد لله وسائل الاتصال متيسرة، يمكن أن ترفع سماعة الهاتف وأن تطلب العلماء في البلاد الأخرى وأن تقول عندي سؤال، وإذا كان وقتهم مناسبا يجيبونك على سؤالك، ما يترددون في ذلك أبدا. وأنا عند الشيخ ربيع في بيته في مكة تأتيه هواتف من جميع أنحاء الدنيا، يقدم علينا داعية يقال له فلان، هل نسمع له أو لا نسمع، هل هو سلفي أو ليس سلفيا، أسئلة من كل أنحاء الأرض على هذا المنوال، وهو في بيته في مكة، والأسئلة تأتي من كل أرجاء الدنيا، فضلا عن الأسئلة في الأحكام الشرعية. والشاهد أن وسائل الاتصال يسرت مثل هذا الواجب: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. فإذا لم يتيسر السؤال المباشر يمكن أن يكون هذا عن طريق الكتب والأشرطة، لكن لا بد أن تكون على صلة بأهل العلم على الأقل توجيهيا، يعني من الناحية التوجيهية، كما يفعلون الآن في العلوم الدنيوية. كيف يدرسون العلوم الدنيوية؟ إما أنه يكون منتظما، وإما أنه يكون منتسبا كما يقال، يعني هو عن بعد، لكنه هناك من يشرف عليه وهناك من يتابعه عبر وسائل الاتصال المختلفة، وأحيانا فقط يذهب الطالب إلى الجامعة التي هو منتسب فيها أيام الامتحان فقط، وأحيانا يكون الامتحان عن طريق وسائل الاتصال الحديثة. فالشاهد لا بد من الصلة مع أهل العلم، حتى وإن كنت ستقرأ في الكتب أو تستمع في الأشرطة، عليك أن تسترشد بالعلماء ماذا تقرأ وماذا تسمع ولمن تقرأ ولمن تسمع، وهل هذه المعلومة صحيحة أو لا، هل هذا الكتاب جيد أو لا، هل هذا الشريط جيد أو لا. لا بد أن تكون على صلة مع أهل العلم. والحمد لله يسرت الأشرطة كثيرا من الشروح العلمية. الآن يمكنك في غرفة نومك على سريرك أن تستمع للشيخ ابن عثيمين حفظه الله وهو يشرح كتاب الأصول من علم الأصول، وأنت في السرير ماذا تريد بعد ذلك؟ يمكنك أن تستمع إلى شروح كتب علمية وأنت في سريرك. فأنصح إخواننا أنهم يتصلون بأهل العلم ويأخذون العلم مباشرة عنهم، فإن لم يتمكنوا فعليهم بالوسيلة التي دون ذلك وهي الكتب والأشرطة، لكن مع الاسترشاد بأهل العلم، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله answers the question by saying: Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم، fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. He also says in the Quran: those of you who strive in the path and in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لنهدينهم سبلنا. We shall give them from the bounties that we have in store for them. We shall grant them from us blessings that they shall see. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask those who know if you do not know. فَسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the scholars when you do not have the answer. And based upon these, the Shaykh says, I refer you to two tapes. And these two tapes, although they are in Arabic, they are the last two lectures that Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has made. And one of them is titled, or has been titled, Imam al-Sunnah, giving advice to the Ummah. The advice of Imam al-Sunnah to the Ummah. Some of the advice that the Imam has given us, rahimahullah. And also the second tape, which is titled, The Transgressors on Fitya, those who overstep the bounds. And in the tape, the Shaykh explains that mankind or people, Muslims, are one of two types. You're either a alim or you're not a alim. You're either a scholar or you're not. The Shaykh does not put between them a student of knowledge. He says, you're a scholar or you're not. If you are not a scholar, then you have to ask the scholar. He also says, the Shaykh, Hafizahullah, our Shaykh says, I refer you to two ways that you can begin to gain knowledge. Two of the most important ways of studying. First is to ask the questions personally. Pick up the phone, go to the Shaykh in person and ask him, what do I do with this? Teach me this. What does this hadith mean? What does this ayah mean? This is one of the best ways to learn. The second, if the first is not applicable or you have no ability to do it, it is through tapes, books, readings, and help that is of this sort. The Shaykh says, when we were in Mecca, we noticed Shaykh Rabia, he was sitting at his home, and every few minutes or every hour or so, a person would call from overseas, from many different countries. And they would ask about such and such and such and such. What about this man? What about this book? Should we read? Should we listen to this? The telecommunication age has made it very simple for us to address our scholars in person. So there should be no excuse for us that when we have an important question that deserves an important and specific answer, that we give it full attention and refer it to the highest of caliber of scholars who will be able to answer it. And also we see that you can now purchase a tape for Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Utaymeen, and you could be sitting in your bedroom, lying on your bed, listening to the class of the Sheikh al-Utaymeen explaining, as the book the Sheikh said, Al-Usul min Ilm al-Usul, many of the books of hadith, many of the books of fiqh, his tapes have been recorded and they are widespread and can be found anywhere.
يعني أزيد على الجواب الاهتمام بالنسبة للسائل لأنه قال أنا لا أنطق العربية أن يهتم بتعلم اللغة العربية لأنه مهما كانت التراجم دقيقة لا تغني عن أخذ العلم مباشرة من الكتاب والسنة بلغة الكتاب والسنة.
And the Shaykh adds an important point that the Arabic language is something that must be stressed, because no matter how good or how inspiring or how well-versed the translation of the book or the lecture or whatever will be, it will never equal the original Arabic. You will never be able to pick up every word or every statement as if it is from the original language, the language of the Qur'an and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh inspires us and advises us to try to learn and strive to learn as much of the Arabic language as we have the ability to. So we only have time for these questions. Inshallah, we will continue with the questions in our later lectures and segments. We'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.